I know you're a UNC fan, but for me, between the Trump presidency and Duke basketball woes,
well,
you know, it's a sad period.
Well, we're kind of joking in the newsroom before I called you, and I was like, well, should I ask the professor if Congress doesn't act the way that Trump wants them, will he lock them out of Congress and not let them wear any apparel?
Tell them they can't wear Make America Great hats.
That's right.
That's good. I like that.
All right. You note that never before has there been a mass resignation of foreign policy professionals within the first week of this presidency. We've had six senior career managers leave the State Department. We've had the head of the Border Patrol ousted. What in your mind is going on here?
There's a little bit of back and forth about, you know, who jumped and who was pushed, who resigned and who was going to be fired. But the reality is that people in the State Department who have worked for many presidents before that, Republican and Democrat, I know people there who were against the Iraq War, but once the United States went in, they said their job was to do the best they could. You know, they're basically saying that they are not prepared to work for this president or on the kind of foreign policy, or even the way he does foreign policy. And however it comes out about who did what first to whom, that's a very powerful message that I think has never been sent in this way before.
Yeah, a message that many of them believe the best way to serve their country is simply to not be involved. That sends a pretty strong message.
It does, and you look what's happening. I mean, just today, the new UN ambassador, the former governor of South Carolina, in what probably I think was her first speech at the UN, said to people, "We're taking names. If you don't support us, we're taking names." Now, both the tone and the content of that are just totally out there, and it's very hard to, you know, hold your nose and make policies like that work. And people in the Foreign Service, you know, not to the extent of people in the military, but they do a lot of work for our country overseas under hardship and danger, and they truly love their country. And it's very painful for them to see the way that this president is running foreign policy in ways that's not only not in the world's interest, but not in the country's interest.
Also, Donald Trump saying today that his defense secretary's opposition to torture overrides his own beliefs that it works. So the whole waterboarding issue that he has put out there also making it difficult for others.
Yeah, he gave a mixed message. Says, I believe in waterboarding, but I'll listen to Secretary Mattis. And I know Secretary Mattis. I knew him before he was appointed secretary. I have great respect for him. I don't always agree with him on issues, but he's a real professional. And I think the problem is when there's a real crisis, will Trump listen to advice by professionals like Defense Secretary Mattis, or will he just go with whatever these instincts are, despite all the evidence to the contrary? His style is to, fire from the hip, and that can get us in lots of trouble. It's been 1 week, and he's already raised the threats to the United States and the problems we have within just the first week of his presidency.
Yeah, we're speaking with Bruce Gentleson, who studies post-Cold War American foreign policy, international security, and particularly issues of foreign and force and diplomacy. Of course, cozying up to Vladimir Putin, calling into question NATO, insulting the German chancellor, antagonizing our Mexican neighbors, disparaging Muslims, and seeking deeper into denial on climate change. All this in the first week under the veil of America First.
Yeah, everybody believes in America First. None of us who work on foreign policy are altruists, but America First really is best achieved by finding ways to work with other countries where we have shared interests, and there are issues out there that require us to work together. His version of America First is, I'm going to do what I want. You all are going to pay the price and have the consequences, and that's not going to work. Not to mention that it's going to cause other countries to retaliate, show us what their strategies are, like the Mexican president who said he wasn't coming. It just doesn't make sense.
In 2012, Bruce, you served on the Obama 2012 campaign National Security Advisory Steering Committee. National security, does a wall along the Mexican border help or does it hurt?
It fundamentally hurts. I mean, you know, one of the sad ironies is that the flow of immigration, illegal and otherwise, coming from Mexico has actually decreased significantly the last few years. And there's always ways to get around walls. There are many things. And the ways in which that leads to other countries not wanting to cooperate with you, the money you're spending on that wall, you could be spending on any number of other things. So it's counterproductive. It's wasteful. It's antagonistic. You know, and I could probably go on, but that's a pretty bad slate.
If the rhetoric continues on this pace, like it's been in the first week or so, with several executive orders passed down as well, what is your largest fear when it comes to national security and U.S. interests overseas?
I'm very concerned. I have to say, you know, there have been presidents before that I disagreed with, but there have never been one that I truly thought was dangerous to the country and the world. And I, you know, I'm a Democrat, but I have many Republican friends that feel that way as well. You know, colleagues, you know, who are in the military, you know, who in a friendly way will express their concerns. And I think that we're really in a dangerous area, not just what he does, but how he does it, and what he says. He's very impetuous. And I think it's really there's not a single area of foreign policy, I think, that right now is headed in a better direction than it was before he was president.
Is there one country, one regime in which, for lack of a better term, Trump has kind of poked the bear a little bit that concerns you most?
I'm concerned about China. I think the way he said, well, maybe Taiwan, you know, is kind of up for renegotiation after, you know, presidents for close to 50 years of both parties have followed the same policy that Richard Nixon and Henry Kissinger started. His threats about them economically, if he wants to slap tariffs on Chinese goods coming into the United States, it affects what people buy at Walmart. It affects the parts of an iPhone. They hold massive amounts of American debt. And so they have some economic instruments to, you know, go back at us. And if you're both getting into tensions with them diplomatically, potentially militarily, and economically, that's a very, very bad package. So there are others, but that's the one I'm most concerned about.
Also, recently with the rhetoric concerning Mexico, I think the United States and many citizens are maybe not quite up to speed on how many imports and how much a 20% tax on imports from Mexico would impact the U.S. consumer.
That's right. I mean, the same thing about goods that are made and are sold in a Walmart or, you know, a department store or on Amazon online. And markets for, you know, North Carolina agriculture and other exports.
Yeah.
Our relations with Canada would be affected by this. I think that North Carolina, Mexico is the second largest source of trade for us in North Carolina in the world. So, you know, it's one thing to say these things on the campaign trail. Even that's not great.
Yeah.
But then to actually do them, very, very, very damaging.
One other thing before I let you go, Professor, Cuba is a country that's near and dear to your heart. What does this new administration, how does it deal with Cuba, and what has you concerned as we switch administrations? Because, of course, Obama has made great strides in that relationship.
Yeah, I think, you know, the politics of this are interesting because people always assume that, if you're after the Cuban-American voter, you're anti-Cuba. And you know, the younger generation of Cuban Americans have wanted this kind of opening. They're not pro-Castro, but they want to get to know the country that their families were from. They want to have cultural exchanges. The older generation feels differently because they felt the repression of the Castros perhaps more. And that's going to affect our relations with the rest of Latin America as well. I mean, between Mexico and Cuba, I think this can cascade into relations with any number of countries in Latin America. And I always say there's a lot of problems in the world that, you know, a lot of fires already burning. It doesn't make a lot of sense to start throwing matches on other areas when you've got plenty of fires to deal with already.
He is Bruce Gentleson, a professor of public policy and political science at Duke University, a former senior advisor to the U.S. State Department Policy Planning Director. Professor, anything that we haven't touched on that you're concerned with as we move forward in this Trump administration?
Definitely the Middle East. You know, yeah. I think right now, we've had the war in Syria. We have ISIS. We have instability in Iraq, despite the fact that we've been there for well over 10 years. We have the proposal to move the American embassy to Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, which is pretty sure to set off protests, not only among Palestinians, but probably many parts of the Arab world and probably other parts of the world, too. And so, you know, the Middle East is probably, of all the unstable regions, the most unstable. And I think that to do the kind of things he's doing, like moving the embassy, there are others, too, but that will just add to the problems.
Why move the embassy?
You know, the argument for doing it is it's seen as a way of supporting Israel and gets into various, religious claims back and forth. But it's interesting, you know, your listeners can just Google some of Israel's military officers, retired military officers, heads of the Mossad and the Shin Bet, you know, hardly soft or dovish people, consistently oppose this kind of move. They say it just makes us less secure, not more. So just because the Prime Minister Netanyahu supports it, there's a lot of differences of views in Israel. So nobody should think that somehow all of Israel wants this to happen.
Are you worried more U.S. troops will be sent into the Middle East under this administration?
You know, President Trump has talked about safe zones in Syria, which was considered in the last administration. Secretary Clinton was considering it. It has pros and cons, but it'll definitely take a significant number of troops, and some of them will have to be American. I think ISIS is a threat. I don't think it needs a major commitment of American troops. So I would hope we can find strategies to deal with those threats that don't involve getting ourselves involved in another protracted war in the Middle East.
He is Bruce Gentleson, professor of public policy and political science at Duke University and a former senior advisor to the U.S. State Department Policy Planning Director. Professor, as always, we appreciate the input and the time.
Thanks very much, Scott.